FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's Kerry Lutz, and the date is February 2nd, 2015. We just finished up January, and that means it's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review. Mickey, how are you?
I'm doing well, Kerry.
Good. And hey, we had some volatility again in the markets. No more boring, dull markets for us, huh?
Well, it looks like not. We have had mixed signals from previously bullish U.S. markets off 2 to 4% the major markets this month. For some reason, despite the collapse of oil and gas prices and other commodities at 5 years lows, including iron ore, coal, and copper, the Toronto Stock Exchange, which is dominated by natural resource companies, was flat over the month. And then the usual January rally of the Venture Exchange, well, we got it up to the first of the year, and it's been flat since then. The index closed down a little less than 3% for the month, and I would submit that's probably driven by oil and gas companies listed on the Venture that were down. And then the Emerging Market Countries Index was flat over the month.
Yeah, so for the first time in a long time, the stock markets are not the leading markets for the month, huh?
Well, that's true. I mean, we were on quite a run then, but came the first of the year, and you know, we're getting all sorts of mixed signals. The markets are shaky at best. It's an interesting time we're living in here right now. As we move into our currencies, it's enlightening in terms of what's happening, and we'll go into that. The dollar index was up another 5% over the month, finished just under 95. Now, this run started back in the beginning of July. So we're basically 7 months into it. U.S. dollar's gone from just above 80 to approaching 95 now. Meanwhile, the euro concomitantly was off 6.6%. We have quantitative easing going on in Europe. We have the Swiss franc. Swiss finally cut their tether from the euro, and which drove that currency up and the euro down again. Then we've also had 9 countries this month embark on weakening of their currencies through lowering of interest rates or outright quantitative easings. I actually should say 9 currencies because the euro really isn't a country. We're in a deflationary environment. I think it's becoming clear that low oil prices have plunge the world into a deflationary event.
Yeah, and you just have to look at the 10-year bond to see exactly what you're talking about.
Isn't that the truth? The bond bubble continues. Now, it's got to burst sometime, but interest rates dropped to 1.68% on the 10-year treasury bond, down 22% over the month. I'm trying to add it up. It looks like we are down 50% since the first of last year, at a 2-year low. So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. And, to think that interest rates are going to go up at the present time seems a little bit far-fetched, as the central banks, particularly the Fed, keeps promising, but now they're even backing off those promises, right?
Well, they have. And, you know, a lot of this has to do with the U.S. dollar has become the lesser of all evil at this point. We're in a bit of a turmoil in the world. You know, the 6 o'clock news is disturbing. Markets are shaky. Commodities are cratering. You know, we have geopolitical tensions that are ongoing in the Middle East and Ukraine. The terrorism by Islamic jihadists in France and other countries. So what happens when markets get shaky and the banks and the institutions and the hedge funds and the commodity speculators and the sheeple and even down to mom and pop investors, they move with a herd mentality and they absolutely work their way into the world's monetary safe havens. And at that point, at this point, that is the good old U.S. dollar and gold. And we'll ignore Bitcoin right now and let's just get right into gold.
Okay. So, yeah, for the first time in a while, I mean, well, it did finish up a little bit in December, gold, 2.7%, but last month it really took off.
Well, it did. It was up over 8% over the month. It went above 1,300 for a while, but then backed off a little bit at month's end to close at 1,283. Silver was up 10% over the month. Platinum was only up 3%, and for the first time in a couple of years now, the platinum gold ratio has gone less than one again, which is certainly a signal to favor buying physical platinum over gold. The one precious metal that has been contrary and continues to be was palladium. It was off 3%. I think that the other precious metals probably were just catching up and it got a little bit ahead of itself and overbought, and so it backed off. What's really interesting to me are metals ratios. The gold and silver ratio is back to that magical number or thereabouts of 75, which would signal to me that you would prefer to buy silver bullion over gold. And I'll have a caveat on that, Kerry. If you could find a silver markup that was not outrageous. And, you know, I think that's still what gets the silver bugs every once in a while. The markups on silver are so much higher than gold. So you got to take that into account when you're buying silver. The gold to WT ratio hit almost 29 at month's end. I have no idea how long it's been since we've seen a ratio like that. Certainly, we've seen nothing approaching that for the 4 years or thereabouts, 3 years we've been tracking everything. So I should probably go in and look at that ratio and see how long it's been.
Yeah.
The big loser for the month was copper. And there was an event, if you want to call it that, in mid-January. The Chinese came in the middle of the night when there was only an Asian market open, and they did a short attack, drove price silver down. Algorithmic traders, the computers don't sleep when normal people do. All these trades kicked in the middle of the night, which drove the copper price down even lower. And then, of course, here they came in and bought it at low prices and it went back up and they sold again. So, you know, typical little market manipulation. But it drove copper down to $2.60, and it has not recovered. It closed the month at $2.50. It's been a long time since we've seen that, basically since the global economic crisis, since we've seen a copper price approaching that low. To me, the fundamentals of copper remain strong, and so I expect that to be a relatively short-term phenomenon. We have to look at oil prices, and
oh yeah,
so being so low, that's really going to help the miners, because fuel costs are really by far the biggest input into the cost of running a mine. So I guess we go to the oil and gas story now, huh?
Yes, and more red ink to be shared there too, huh?
Oh, my. WTI closed the month at less than $45, $44.53 to be exact, down 16% over the month, and we are now down a whopping 65% since the 1st of July. Brent followed suit. It closed the month less than $50. That ratio remains about the same at 1.1. It's a little higher than it has been. Probably the biggest news, I mean, the oil crash happened. It was well into effect the last time we talked, and we mm-hmm. expected oil to go lower. And really expect gas to go as low as it has. Close the month at 269, down another 10%. Certainly, a lot of that is due to a very mild winter in the northeast tier of states and high inventories. But a little bit of doom and gloom here. I got some analysts. I'm in Vancouver right now, and so I've been talking to my oil and gas buddies on the analyst side, and they are of a consensus that Henry Hub's going to less than $2 this year.
Amazing.
In the next few months, let's say. So if that comes to pass, we could expect that in the slow season in May or thereabouts.
Well, I didn't mention, you know, it's Groundhog Day today. He didn't see a shadow. So that means spring is right around the corner, which can't be good for Henry Hub.
Okay.
If you believe in such things.
We got a little science in there from Carrie Lutz, the well-known prognosticator there. So that was kind of funny. And finally, a little bit on a good note, uranium was, or close the metals on a good note, let's say. Uranium was up nearly 6% over the month, close at $37. So it's looking stronger, but it's still got a long way to go before most uranium mines become economic. The WTI to Henry Hub ratio at a multi-year low now, closed at a little bit more than 16, which is the lowest, by far the lowest since we've been tracking it. And a lot of it has to do is petroleum's is in the toilet now, and until things improve on the oil end, I think we're still looking at a deflationary environment in the world. We just put out a piece about a week ago on the positive correlation of the dollar index and gold. The last time period that happened was in January and February of 2009. Really? So it's astounding. And there are some other analogies to that period of time. I don't know if you recall, but it really was the gold sector that led North America out of the global economic crisis. And it started in January of 2009 when people were fleeing to the dollar and fleeing to gold, and both were going up in lockstep, which they are right now. A correlation of approaching positive 0.9 at this point, which is nearly unheard of. And the other thing that's similar, during January of 2009, there were some really big financings amongst the gold miners. Newmont, Barrick, filtered down to Osisko Gold, which at the time was a mid-tier junior. They raised $400 million. In January, as of the third week of January, and I haven't seen latest statistics since then, but there had been $800 million raised in Toronto and Vancouver in bought deals for mid-tier gold miners. So things are looking better for the gold business.
Yeah. Well, amazing what a couple months of rising prices can do for an industry. And hey, Bitcoin, what about Bitcoin?
Oh yeah. Well,
don't forget that.
What are your Bitcoin buddies saying now, Kerry?
Yeah.
it was down 58% in 2014. Down another 29% month over month, close the month at $2 or $226 per Bitcoin. And I've got no comment. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, speaks
enough
for itself. Yeah, well, you know, it's amazing, though, that we're thinking inflation, and then, you know, towards the middle to end of last year, that whole thing changed, and then it became strong dollar and, you know, plunging euro and plunging ruble, all the other currencies just going straight to hell in a handbasket. And I guess it's like you said, perceived safety, relative safety. There's no absolute safety to be found in any paper currency, but I guess, you know, It's the least of the worst, right?
It's the lesser of all evil. And I think it's becoming very clear that everything that's going on in the currencies markets has to do with the price of oil. You know, King Oil rules. Oil's less than $50. It's completely turned the economic paradigm of the world around, at least in the short term. We'll see how long it lasts.
It will be interesting to see balance of payments deficits around the world. You know, first quarter of 2015, last quarter of 2014, see that trend because, you know, so much of the deficits, although the U.S. trade deficit as a result of oil has been going down as self-sufficiency going up, production going up. But, you know, now that prices are going down, be interesting to see. And also consumption. Do you think that consumption's going to go up now that prices are down, Mickey?
Well, I know one thing, that a lot of people plan their entire travel and vacation plans around the price of gas in June or July. So I think you're going to see a mom and pop and the kids in the station. Well, pardon me, they don't drive a station wagon. And the big SUV are going to be taking lots of coast-to-coast trips.
Yeah, no doubt. And around the world, probably as well, less sales of the smaller fuel efficient vehicles, more of the bigger, less fuel efficient vehicles. But even the big ones, they keep making more fuel efficient, right? So I guess Absolutely. That's the trend. So yep. Be interesting to see what February has to bring, whether these trends will continue, whether they're going to reverse. At some point, you just get the feeling that the dollar is going to play its hand and then start going back. But when that will be, anybody's guess.
That's true, Kerry. And I look forward to speaking with you in a month, and we'll review the end of a short month, 28 days in February.
All right. And just tell us, besides mercenarygeologist.com, the best sites to find you at?
This interview will be on mercenarygeologist.fm, streaming 24/7 audio via the internet. And we tweet vociferously every day at mercenarygeologist, now approaching 41,000 Twitter followers.
That's impressive. And of course, you'll find the links to all of that on the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Make sure you sign up for the free newsletter. And Mickey, we will talk to you next month.
I look forward to it, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.